to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we continue our series on Proverbs, subtitled Practical Wisdom for Everyday Life. And so far we've covered the foundation and value of wisdom, what Proverbs says about our words, the power, their impact, and how we can best use them, how to have a Christ-like attitude. Carlton did a great job teaching on that. We talked about what Proverbs says about our plans versus God's purposes and how they work together. We talked about healthy and helpful relationships. Last week, Kingsley talked about what Proverbs had to say about finances. As I mentioned earlier, I was able to listen to that, and he did a really good job. And tonight, the title is Managing Anger. Managing anger. All right. I chose that word specifically. I didn't say eliminating anger, because you can't eliminate it. All right. You have to know how to manage it, and it needs to be managed. You've probably known some people that did not manage anger well. I won't ask for any testimonies about whether you were one of those people. I'm sure none of you are that way now, okay? And it is one of the major themes in Proverbs. We've talked, I mean, every one of the themes we've dealt with so far is one of the major ones, but there's a lot in Proverbs about anger and temper and all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. Last week, I was not here because I was over with the youth, and they had me come over because they had had a list of questions they wanted to ask the pastor. And the very first question, don't know why they chose that to be the first one, was, does God get angry? How would you answer that? Yes. You know, and the idea of an angry God, when it's taken out of context, is one of the major stumbling blocks for people wanting to believe in a God or wanting to have a relationship with a God, because they see God in the Old Testament as being an angry, mean, abusive God. That's not what the way the Old Testament portrays him. But God does get angry. Okay? What does he get angry at? Sin. Yeah. Injustice. Right? We're going to talk about that a little bit. We see that Jesus, you know, often people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is angry and mean and all that kind of stuff, but Jesus is love and joy and peace. But, you know, Jesus got angry, all right? When did Jesus get angry? In the temple. That's the number one main thing. You know, what did he get angry about? Okay, defiling his father's house. It was supposed to be a place of worship, relationship, and the religious leaders had basically set up a market. And they were gouging people because they had to, you know, exchange money. They had to buy animals for sacrifice. They had a whole racket going on. You know, people would bring animals to sacrifice. They said, oh, that's not good enough. Why don't you trade it in with some more money for this one? It's good enough. And then they turn around and put theirs into the line to be traded for the next guy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And people would come from all over the Roman Empire and bring their money. Say, you can't give that kind of money in the temple. So we got an exchange booth over there, and the exchange rate was all over. And plus, they were doing all this in the court where the Gentiles were allowed to go to worship God. They couldn't go any further. And so it kept the Gentiles from really being able to worship God. So Jesus got very upset. But there was another time, not as well known, when Jesus got upset. Anyway, what?
When he was ready for breakfast.
When he was ready for breakfast? Oh, in the fig tree. Yeah, okay. The fig tree was not bearing fruit. I didn't think about that one. Yeah, you're right. He did. There's another time he got angry too. Yeah, he expressed a good bit of upsetness with the religious leaders. Yeah. I'm thinking specifically when the parents were bringing their children to be blessed by him. And the disciples were like, no. Jesus has got more important things to do. And, you know, the word in the English is not the word anger, but that's really kind of what it meant. Jesus was very, very upset with his disciples about that. Well, anyway, so we're talking about God. You know, God is perfect, and when he gets angry, he's got a reason, and he handles it right. But what about for us as humans? Is anger good or bad? Both, either, right? What makes it either good or bad? How you handle it. Were you going to say something, man?
Yeah. It's righteous anger.
Righteous anger.
Man's in red light.
Yeah, that's right. For us, anger, you know, everybody deals with anger.
Yeah.
Maybe different people deal with it at different levels because of either personality, background, upbringing, your own discipline or lack of it as you grew older or whatever, and as you continue, different people struggle more or less with different things. We all deal with anger. The question is, how do we deal with it? And what do we do with it when we've got it? And how do we express it? And what do we do about it when we're angry? Lynn quoted Ephesians 4:26. If you want to write that down, Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry. So it's okay to be angry and do not sin. So it's okay to be angry as long as you don't sin in the process. It goes on to say, do not let the sun go down on your anger. All right. What does that mean? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What is he trying to communicate? Deal with it as quickly as you can, right? I mean, that's what led to this idea of don't go to sleep angry. You've heard that before. You'll often use for couples. I read a thing this last week. It says, this lady said, my husband and I have decided to never go to sleep while still angry. Now, we've been awake since last Friday. So anyway, so deal with anger or discord quickly to minimize the negative consequences. So let's spend a couple minutes talking about what causes anger. What causes us, what causes people, not you because you guys don't get angry, but what causes people to get angry? Injustice. That is a good reason to get angry. That is one of the reasons God gets angry. He gets angry at injustice. All right? What are some issues of injustice that God gets angry about and we should get angry about? Sometimes we don't get angry at things we should. Okay. But what are some areas of injustice that we should get angry about? Discrimination. What else? I'm sorry, what? Okay, harm or especially abuse to children. Abuse to anybody, but especially children, the helpless, the innocent. Those who can't really fight back for themselves. You know, it's a form of abuse, but I think of sex trafficking, you know, that kind of stuff. Slavery. Say, oh, well, that was ancient history. Well, not in a lot of part of the world. And that's what sex trafficking is all about, is slavery. All right. Persecution. That's injustice too. Now, we as Christians are supposed to respond to that differently than most if we're the subject of it, but we can still get angry about the fact that there are people who are unjust in that way. Racism. There's a lot of different things. So what else besides injustice causes people to get angry? Okay, so if I could generalize that, if you see someone who is punished, disciplined, or whatever for something that's wrong, but you feel it's not appropriate, it's not enough, okay? That's also can be a form of injustice, or at least our perception is this injustice. Like, well, they deserve this, but they didn't get that. But what's even worse is if it seems like somebody did something and they get away with it. So that's another thing that causes people to get angry. What else causes people to get angry? Okay, being deceived, disappointed, unmet expectations. All right, so basically frustration. All right, frustration because someone's taken advantage of us, which again is a form of injustice, you know, or being deceived. I've got frustration as one of the categories. Not getting what you want, we get angry. Having to wait. Does anybody get frustrated? At least frustrated, but ever get angry about having to wait? Yeah. You know, we all have our pet peeves, the things that really anger us. I've already shared many times that the thing that frustrates me and gets me most angry is the way people drive. I'm not going to get into that anymore. But anyway, what are some other things that can cause people to get angry? Nathel. Okay. Physical or emotional harm. Any kind of pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain. I mean, think about it. I don't know if you've ever hit your thumb or your finger with a hammer. I mean, it hurts, but almost the immediate response is anger. And there's all kinds of responses that can come from that. Or stub your toe, you know, or do something else. Whack body part against a door frame because you missed it. Or you're walking through your house at night, you know, and the lights are off and somebody moved the door. Or something, you know, any kind of pain can get us angry. Lori. Okay. Not being able to defend yourself or people trying to control you or tell you what to do. Okay.
happens?
Yeah, that's the question. It's like when something like that happens, who do you get angry at? I mean, you only have yourself to blame.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
You know, I mean, yeah, we won't get into the whole thing about somebody else rearranging the house and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Amanda. When you fail at something, yeah, you can get angry. And again, you may get angry at yourself. All right. Or if you feel that somebody else has caused that to happen, then you can get angry at them. I've got a couple different categories. This certainly is not exhaustive, and it includes everything you guys have said. I head down pain, you know, when you're hurt physically, emotionally, relationally, whatever. When you're frustrated, you don't get what you want. You have to wait. Here's one that's not been mentioned, although it's been kind of hinted at. Insecurity. We can get mad because we're insecure. In other words, we feel threatened or afraid, all right? And whenever we feel threatened or afraid, we got that whole flight or fight thing. It's like, am I going to run away or am I going to defend? But, you know, we get angry. But also another thing about the insecurity is if we feel attacked, not just physically, but our self-worth, okay? How about when others express anger toward us, especially if we feel like we don't deserve it? As I said, if we feel like we don't deserve it, we may deserve it, but we don't feel like it. But even if we do deserve it, when somebody expresses anger at us, we get angry. And that's one thing about anger. It's one of those things that falls in that category that when it's given into, if there's not somebody who's going to have some self-control, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And so we get angry at that when there's harsh words, quarreling. In fact, Proverbs talks about that one. Proverbs 15:1 says a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay. We did talk about that some when we talked about what Proverbs had to say about our words. That's one of the negative things about our words. If we're not careful, our words can cause anger or stir up anger, put it that way. This one's a little more picturesque. Proverbs 30:33 says, for pressing milk produces curds. Pressing the nose produces blood. Pressing it pretty hard. And pressing anger produces strife. That's Proverbs 30:33. Okay. You know, I think another thing, and this actually can be the reason behind some of the others that can cause anger, is pride.
Yes, sir.
Pride. Proverbs 21:24 says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Now, it doesn't mention anger, but yet it's kind of assumed or insinuated there. Why does or how does pride cause anger? What'd you say?
Self-centered.
We're self-centered. Pride. Okay, so what are some examples of people do something that our pride gets involved in so we get angry? Envy. Okay. It's like, well, they got that, but I deserve it, so I'm angry about it. Okay, what else? Why didn't I get it right? Okay, all right. I'm sorry, go ahead, Irene. When you lose something, okay. Okay. Lynn. Yeah, when people call you names or insult you. All right. Especially if we don't deserve it. Okay. I think of an example in Scripture in Esther chapter 3. You got this, the bad guy of Esther. His name is Haman. All right. Full of pride. And Mordecai would not bow down to him. All right. It caused a lot of anger for him. All right. We talked about injustice. I've got that on here. And it's related to injustice, but sin. Sin. All right. We said God gets angry at sin. And that's part of the thing that when I was talking to the young people, when they asked, when the question was, does God get angry? I said, yes, he does get angry. He gets angry at injustice. I said, he gets angry at things we should get angry at. And I talked a little bit about that. You know, I said, he gets angry at sin. But the thing that we have to remember is that God gets angry at the sin, but not necessarily the sinner. Okay, it's sort of like we say we need to love the sinner, but we don't love sin. All right, and but the thing is, we got to remember is that even if we get angry for the right reasons, we still need to respond to it the right way. I can think of some examples like people that get angry that abortion is legal, and so they go and they bomb abortion clinics. Now, you don't hear much about that anymore right now, anyway. But I mean, the anger of the injustice against the unborn and the sin of taking a life and all that kind of stuff, but yet there are right ways to handle that and wrong ways to handle that, okay? So probably one of the more well-known proverbs about anger is Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. It says, you know what? We might want to be like known as a real strong, mighty person, physically, mentally, whatever. But if you can control your anger, that's even more significant than being mighty. Okay? So, if somebody were to talk to you and to ask you and say, hey, listen, I've got an anger problem, or at least I want to get my anger better under control, what advice would you give them? Because that's what we're going to look at next, is how we can manage our anger in a righteous, positive way. What advice would you give if somebody says, I've got an anger thing, I've got to get some control over it? Give one piece of advice so we can spread it around. Lynn? Okay. Ecclesiastes, I didn't put that scripture in here, but yes, in Ecclesiastes it says that if you're hasty in anger, you shouldn't do that, because anger lies in the bosom of fools. Okay? Yes. Okay, pray what? Okay, pray for God to help you and for Him to take over the situation. So it's an issue of prayer and surrender. Okay? Amanda? Listen more and speak less. Okay, there's a passage in James that talks about that. We'll read it in a minute. What other advice would you give? It's some anger transferred to somebody else for what? That can be harmful. So you dig a little bit deeper to find out what kind of anger they're dealing with and whether it's right or wrong and all that kind of stuff. Okay, good. Lori? Okay, so acknowledge the anger. You didn't put it in these words, but, you know, think about the consequences. It's not going to be worth it. In many cases, it's not worth it. It's like sin. It may feel good for a little while when you go off on that person, but later on you're going to regret those words or those actions perhaps. Okay? What other advice would you give them? Anything else you can think of? To learn to forgive. Yeah. So a couple things you said there. Point them to Scripture, which is what we're going to dig into here from Proverbs, and then add a couple others in, which is significantly important. But also look to Jesus as an example. Because as believers, you know, when I said, if somebody asks you, I've got an anger, you know, we're kind of doing that in the understanding, well, this is a believer or whatever. But even if they're not, there's, you know, God's truth is God's truth, and it's helpful to everybody, whether they believe in God or not. So point to the Scriptures and look at Jesus as an example. Learn to forgive. Those are all very important pieces. Let me give you what I've put together here as I've put this Bible study together. Again, this is not exclusive or all-inclusive or whatever. But the first thing I put down here is, when angry, don't respond immediately. When angry, don't respond immediately. Usually the first thought or inclination we have is not going to be the best. Okay? We need to learn to exercise self-control. Don't say or do the first thing that comes to your mind. And Proverbs has a lot to say about that. Has a lot to say about self-control in general, but especially when it comes to do with our attitudes and our anger. In Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So Proverbs, and Lynn mentioned Ecclesiastes earlier, both of them state that, you know, having no control over your anger is the sign of foolishness or being a fool. All right, so Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. In that case, it says you're worse than a fool, or there's more hope for a fool. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 14:29. I read it a little bit earlier, Proverbs 16:31. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. A little while ago, Amanda mentioned a passage, and I said, yes, in James. That's James 1, verses 19 and 20. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Yes, did I see a hand a minute ago? I guess not. Okay. So, when angry, don't respond immediately. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, the advice was always given, when you get angry, count to 10. And so somebody said, and if you're still angry, count to 100. And if you're still angry, keep counting. What'd you say?
Or sleep on it.
Yeah. How would you respond to somebody who says, I really would like to do that, but I just can't help it? It's just the way I am. It's the way I was raised. It's my personality. It's my culture. How would you respond to somebody who says, I just can't help it?
That is so rare.
Congratulate them for what?
That is so rare. It's probably the first
admitting it. Oh, for admitting it. Okay. Amanda. Ask them how that's been working for them. Okay. That's good. Yeah, Lori. Depending on the circumstances, you have to walk away. Okay. You know, the thing... Yavita. Yeah, it's really kind of an excuse, you know, to basically justify that they don't handle it right or they don't know how to handle it. You know, if you think about it, it may be the type of thing where they're thinking about anger in itself, you can't help it. Well, that's true. Many times we can't help our feelings and our emotions. They come. But we can, for most people, you can determine, you can, to some degree, control how you handle it, which is what it's all about. Maybe you can't help getting angry. You know, and there are certain things that we need to really pray about. It's like, God, that really is something I shouldn't get angry about. Help me to figure out why I am, because I need help with this. But most importantly, until I got it figured out, maybe I can learn to not get angry about that kind of stuff. Help me to handle it better. You know, it's really interesting. Many people say, well, I can't help myself. This is whatever. I'm sure this has never happened to you, but perhaps you've known people. Or been seeing people, they're really angry, they're yelling at each other, and the phone rings. Oh, hello. How are you? And it shows you can control. It's just we don't want to when we're dealing with that other person, right? What were you going to say, Vita?
Okay, so.
That's right. There are some things, it's just, you just need Jesus.
Exactly.
That's for sure. And we're not trying to deny that people are wrestling with really controlling things, but the whole thing is if you want to change, you have to be willing to try to make some steps. And the first one, and it may be little tiny baby steps. And that's the other thing about not being so judgmental, you know, as we see somebody who gets really upset or angry, and if we'd have known them 6 months ago, it's like, man, they've made a lot of progress. But we just see that one is, it's like, oh man, they've got a temper, you know. But again, one of the first steps is when angry, don't respond immediately. Learn. We've got to learn. We've got to grow in that self-control. And of course, if we're believers in Jesus and His Holy Spirit dwells within us, we've got the fruit of the Spirit. We need to pray that God will help us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And that will be one of the points in just a little bit. But don't respond immediately. We just want to get it out there, you know? Okay, second one. It's been mentioned. Take your anger to God and ask for His help. Take your anger to God and ask for God. And you can tell God about your anger. And God doesn't mind if you vent to Him. Now, do it with respect. But I'm just saying, some people, I can't talk to God about that. Read the Psalms. David in particular, but some of the other Psalm writers. I mean, they get angry about stuff, and they're just venting it to God. And God's up there listening, you know. And it's interesting because when you read many of those Psalms, you see how as they're venting to God, you can tell God's at work in their thought process because it starts to turn around. You can see by the time they get to the end, it's like, well, God, you know what? You're faithful. I'm going to trust you. Whatever. And so take your anger to God and ask for His help. Okay? What are some ways that God will help us with our anger? Practically speaking. Lisa? He'll give you peace. Yeah, if we can really take it to Him, and somebody mentioned surrender earlier, He'll give us peace, which helps us with the anger. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Asking God for wisdom. God promises to give us wisdom if we will sincerely ask Him and also be willing to recognize that maybe, you know, there's something in me that brought this about. You know, be willing to admit that I may have had a part to play in this. Okay. Good. Good. Amanda and then be, oh, I'm sorry. I was going to go from front to back. Amanda and then. When David what? Yes, God can guide us to the scripture, to the right words. Yes. That's right. David said, search me, O Lord. We need to search ourselves and ask God to shine the light of His word and His Holy Spirit on us. Amanda, what were you going to say? When you have kids, that's a whole other category, isn't it? That's a very good point that I didn't work into this lesson, but it is. Remember, our kids, our grandkids, the people around us, they learn things from us. You know, are they learning how to better handle their anger from watching us or not so much? You know? Okay, so that's important. It's been mentioned before, but really pray for the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, He's your Savior, He's your Lord, and the Spirit dwells within you, the Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every single one of those nine things can help you with anger. Love. The more you love someone, you may get angry with them, but it's going to help you deal with it in the right way. Okay. Joy. If you're full of joy, maybe you won't get as angry or whatever. I don't know. Peace, patience, kindness, especially gentleness and self-control. We should be growing in those things. And as we're following the Lord and submitted to Him, that's the kind of stuff we'll grow in our lives. And again, it's a process. We won't get perfect at it, but we should be growing closer and closer to that ideal, you know, as we serve the Lord. The third thing I have down here is think about the results of expressing anger in the wrong way. It's one of the reasons why you want to pause and stop. You know, don't just count to 10, but as you're doing that, or 100, think about what is going to happen if I just let this fly like I'd like to, you know, or what will be the results? The different ways I might possibly respond, what will result be? And by the way, this is very good advice for all temptation. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, especially pastors, but it's true for everybody, who said that they deliberately think about, you know, what would happen if I carried out this particular sin that I'm tempted to be involved in? I've heard it apply especially to adultery. You know, you think of a pastor, they carry through. What could happen? Well, their marriage could be destroyed. Even if they're forgiven, it won't be the same. It'll take a long time to heal. Tremendous impact on their children. Discredit God. Discredit God's work, you know, lose perhaps their ability to minister, and all kinds of things. So it's good for all temptation. But think about the results of expressing anger in the wrong way. What are some negative things that come when people express their anger in the wrong way? What are some negative results? Lori? Pain. Yeah, sometimes we get angry because of pain, but then we cause pain for others, which causes more pain for us. I heard another comment over here. End up in jail. A lot of angry acts end up breaking the law or whatever, end up in jail. Law of the harvest. You're going to reap what you sow. Yep. Yep. God will not be mocked. We reap what we sow. What are some other negative results that can come from unharnessed, undealt with anger? Joan. Regrets. You can say and do things that later it's like, why in the world did I do that? If we'd have just waited a while, let it cool down. You know, that's why they say that, you know, if you get frustrated about something or whatever, and you write an email or a text or whatever, used to be make a phone call, you know, think about it for a while. You know, you make a decision. It's good to just let it sit for a while and go back to it. Sometimes overnight. Because our initial response is probably going to be a lot stronger than it possibly needs to be. Lori. Broken relationships. You know, how many relationships have been broken and perhaps stay broken over long periods of time because of things that were said and done in anger?
Unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Anger produces unforgiveness, bitterness. And, you know, forgiveness is a whole other topic. But we talked about this in Sunday school just recently. You've probably heard this before. It's pretty popular that unforgiveness, not forgiving, is sort of like drinking rat poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. You know, we're the ones that get poisoned. We're the ones that get hurt. You know, we're the ones that are in bondage. You know, we think we're hurting them. But if they did something so bad to you that they don't care, they just don't care. But we do, and so it causes us the problems. Lori. Fighting in wars. Yeah, you know, if you go back and study history, personal history, family history, national histories, how many wars and conflicts have been started just because of something that was said or done and then the response and anger? Norris. That's right. Stress that causes emotional and physical problems. I forget the statistics and all that kind of stuff. I just remember from years past that a lot of physical problems that we deal with are not just physical, they're because of emotional issues that we don't handle right. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's right. It multiplies. It leads to hatred. I mean, most people, I'm sure there's a couple people out there that love being angry. Okay? Maybe you know some like that. But most people don't like being angry. I mean, it leaves you in a state of agitation all the time. You know? Proverbs 29:22 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. I like this one. Proverbs 11:29, whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. Doesn't mention anger in particular, but that's definitely one of the things that can trouble your household. What does that mean, they will inherit the wind? We get nothing? I think of the wind that comes whipping through like with a hurricane or a tornado or something. You know, it blows, it just makes a mess of everything. Proverbs 14:17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. So think about the results of expressing anger in the wrong way. Yeah, anger can cause people to become bullies. All right, number four, choose. And this is an important thing. You know, no matter how we feel, any feelings that we have, positive, negative, we always have a choice. Now, it may be hard to make that choice. You know, we talk about different people at different levels and how they respond, but choose. So we've done these things. We've waited, we're praying about it, we think about the consequences, then we need to make a choice. Choose to not respond at all or respond in a healing way. Defusing way. In other words, a way that can heal the situation, that can defuse it. Yes. Oh, you were just, okay, I thought you had your hand up. So choose to not respond at all, which is not easy, or respond in a healing, defusing way. Lisa left, maybe because we got to this point. I'm just joking. There's been several times in the last couple of months that Lisa says that God has been working in her and teaching her when to keep her mouth shut. You know? And she's not the only one that needs to learn that. Just so you know, we all need to learn that. All right? But that's true. There she is. We just gave your testimony, Lisa.
Oh, my.
No, the point was choose to not respond at all or respond in a healing, diffusing way. And I said you gave many testimonies about how God has been teaching you when to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let me read this, Lori, and then I'll come to you. Proverbs 12:16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. That is not easy to do. Okay? To ignore an insult, at least for the time being, or maybe totally. Proverbs 12:16. Lori, you had your hand up. Yes, you can be angry. Paul says, be angry, but sin not. You made a very important point there. Don't suppress it. We're not talking about stuffing it down, stuffing it in, holding it in because it's still there. We're talking about how can we healthily and confessing it. I read one person says, don't suppress it, don't express it in the wrong way, but confess it. You mentioned confessing it to God, but that's also why we have our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can confess it along with any other things we're wrestling with to each other. There's a way to have an outlet, but don't suppress it. Don't hold it in. That's definitely very unhealthy. Yes. Lisa had her hand up first, then you. Lisa. That goes even a step further. Not just dealing with it, but dealing with it in such a way that he is glorified. Lynn.
The first thing I'm supposed to come to you.
Mm-hmm. Go to the person.
Going to God is like.
Yeah. That's true. We've got to do what God says. We can't, you know, make other excuses to ignore what God says. So, okay. Yes. Yeah, the passage in James, you know, it talks about confessing our faults one to another, talking with another, praying for one another. That's what the ultimate goal should be. People get together, even if they're upset with each other or whatever, they talk it out, they pray for each other, there's healing. But sometimes one person's not willing. And then you got to take Paul's advice in Romans where it says, as much as is possible for you, live at peace with others. Do what you can, that what God says to do. And then go from there. It was mentioned earlier, I think Lynn did, about looking at Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says, when he, talking about Jesus, was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus had the best reasons to be angry, you know, with people and to express it, but he chose not to. He just trusted himself to God. And of course, from the cross, he forgave the people who were crucifying him. Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So those are great examples of not responding in a negative way. In other words, not responding at all. But we can also respond in a healing or diffusing way. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. All right? Okay. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. All right? You know that old saying, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Yeah. Amanda. Yeah. I would say it's okay to not respond, period, as long as it doesn't lead to you repressing it or suppressing it. Or if God is actually wanting you to respond, but in the right way to help correct the situation or whatever. Because sometimes we can choose not to respond because I'd rather just avoid the conflict. I'd rather just whatever. So that's where we need wisdom. That's where we need discernment. Is this something I can just let go? Because as I said before, sometimes we get angry at things. It's like, that's silly for me to be angry at that. It really is. It just, you know, it was a trigger. Lori mentioned the word trigger. It touched my buttons the wrong way, you know. Yeah, there are some things we just can ignore. Anita. Oh, that's right. We got to watch our faces too. We may not say anything, or you know, maybe not even say anything, but our faces, but our actions. It's like, I'm upset with you, and you walk away, you know. Okay. Okay. So being honest, say, hey, listen, I'm really dealing with this right now. Just give me some space. Pray for me. Whatever. I read this quote. It says, it's just as three things all stuck to it. Blowing your stack only creates air pollution. A sharp tongue is the quickest way to cut your own throat. Use sweet words because you may have to eat them eventually. Okay. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's not easy, but try to think of positive things, soft ways to deal with things. I mentioned choose to forgive, Jesus on the cross. Our time's about up, so let me just give you the last little bit. Number five, this is the last one, then concluding it. Deal with the root problem, okay? Because the thing is, anger often isn't the root problem. We get angry because of some other problem. And unless we deal with the root problem, we're just going to keep getting angry, all right? Whether it's, somebody put it this way, it's the warning light that you've got another problem. If it's being hurt, you got to deal with the hurt, not just the anger. If it's because you're frustrated, you got to deal with the frustration. Should I be frustrated? If I am and it's okay, how do I deal with these things that frustrate me? If it's insecurity, if it's pride especially, if it's selfishness, disappointment, whatever it is, ask God what the root problem is and deal with it his way, with his help. So let me wrap this up because it's time to go. Anger doesn't have to be destructive. It can be constructive if we handle it right with God's help. And some good things that can come out of it, if we handle it right, is we'll grow in character, become more like Jesus. We'll be a great example that can be a witness to the world. And even if we lose our temper, if we can go to the other person and say, man, I blew it and I was wrong. Forgive me. Yeah. It can motivate us to pray more. Okay. And it can also motivate us to make a difference. When we talk about being angry at the right things, righteous anger at injustice, at sin, if we allow that, it can motivate us to make a difference in our world. So, all right, let's pray. It's time. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together to look at another topic in Proverbs, Lord, our anger, something we all deal with to some degree or another. And we've all been the recipients of anger. And God, I just pray that you'd help us. Help us to become more like Jesus. Help us to grow in our ability to exercise self-control and patience. And Lord, give us wisdom when we do get angry. First of all, to recognize exactly why, so that we can learn from that. And if something needs to change in us, that we'd be willing to recognize that, admit it, and seek your help to change. But also, Lord God, to get wisdom from you about how to handle it. Lord God, how to deal with it in the right way so it isn't destructive, but it actually can be constructive. God, I pray for anybody who might be here right now, or maybe listening to this recording, and they've got an issue in their life right now that they're angry about. And probably it has to do with another person. And God, give them the wisdom on how to handle that so that it can be healing and strength and reconciliation rather than an ongoing bitterness. And Lord, when it's important for us to do so because of the situation, help us to learn to forgive because you've been so forgiving to us. Father, we thank you and we praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.